Again, I have no financial relationships to disclose either. While this is loading, for a brief background on ASTO, ASTO is a national nonprofit association representing the public health agencies in the states, territories, and the District of Columbia. Our chief members are the state health officials, but we also support the more than 100,000 staff of the public health agencies. Our mission is to transform public health and wellness within states to dramatically improve their health. To better understand ASTO's involvement with state environmental health programs, I wanted to give you a background on the SCHD group, or State Environmental Health Directors. The State Environmental Health Directors is comprised of designated management officials in the public health agency who direct and oversee the majority of food safety and sanitation, air and water quality, recreational sanitation safety, housing, epidemiology, environmental epidemiology and surveillance programs. They were formed in 2006 as an informal peer group within ASTO and received staff support through ongoing technical assistance, monthly conference calls, weekly newsletters, and a yearly in-person meeting. The SCHD group seeks to develop a national identity and unified voice for state environmental public health, enhance relationships and communication among states and partners, and provide a forum for discussion of key environmental public health issues. Prior to 2006, there was very little information known on what environmental health services are consistent across the states. And from what you'll hear today, there actually it is not necessarily consistent across the states, although there are some core programs out there. So we first administered a survey in 2006 to gauge initial snapshot of EH services. And then we did a follow-up survey in 2010 to track developments in state EH programs, gauge the differences over the four-year interval, and better understand the impact budget cuts are having on environmental health. ASTO utilized feedback from the State Environmental Health Director Steering Group, which is comprised of one official from each of the 10 HHS regions, to ensure that the correct questions were being answered in a 2010 survey. It was also piloted with a handful of states prior to full dissemination to make sure that we were on track, it flowed well, and to get a sense of the time needed to complete it. Throughout the survey, respondents were asked to indicate the agencies or jurisdictions responsible for the number of activities in each program area, and we utilized the general matrix as seen on the screen here. So you can see that what program options were available, then the activities were listed 1, 2, 3, food safety, housing, lead, etc. Seventeen total program areas were covered in the survey, with additional questions on workforce, EH-related legislation, and emergency response. You can see the list of the 17 areas covered right there. We received a fairly high response rate, with 47 individual states and one territory responding, then 45 responses completing the entire survey. This map shows the responding states as well as the primary location of the state environmental health program. You'll note in the dark blue that most environmental health programs are housed in the state public health agency. There's also two EH programs housed in the Department of Environmental Quality or Protection, and three programs within joint agencies. State environmental health programs are very diverse, as you've seen before. There are certain programs for which a large majority of the states, over 75%, have jurisdiction, and these include indoor air quality, risk assessment, public water supply, monitoring, food protection, and recreational water. This slide shows a snapshot of the broad range of activities included in the environmental health unit, with the activities at the top where most states have jurisdiction over, and the activities at the bottom that the environmental health programs don't have as much jurisdiction over. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not completed in the state. It means that there may be another agency or program that has jurisdiction over them. So now we'll work our way through the individual programs to get a better sense of the activities completed. 92% of environmental health directors reported responsibility for indoor air, making it the most common activity across the board. And within that program, the subset of activities included moisture, mold, and mildew, other chemicals in indoor environments, radon education, and radon data collection. Oversight over tobacco smoke in public and residential locations were the only two indoor air activities where actually the Environmental Health Program did not have primary jurisdiction. That was within another program. And also note that outdoor air programs were not housed under the Environmental Health Program. That's probably more likely a case under Departments of Environmental Quality, Departments of Natural Resources. 85% of responding states perform some type of risk assessment. If you focus on the blue bars here, those are the programs where the Environmental Health Unit has primary jurisdiction. You'll see that performing environmental health assessments and consultations was the most common form of risk assessment, followed by environmentally related disease surveillance, fish consumption advisories, toxicology, site investigations, and so on and so forth. You'll see that at the second to last activity, investigation of cancer clusters, that was the only area under risk assessment where another agency within the state agency performed more activities. That's most likely the Environmental Epidemiology Bureau. 81% of responding environmental health programs perform at least one public water supply activity, with the most common being waterborne illness investigations, septic system inspections, and sanitary surveys. And based on comments from the survey, many of these were actually, again, housed in the Department of Environmental Quality or Department of Natural Resources, if they weren't done by the health agency. 77% of environmental health directors perform at least one environmental monitoring activity, with the most common being nuisance-type conditions, followed by youth and family camps and vector control. And then 58% of the state's healthcare facility inspections were actually housed in a different program, but within the same agency. So again, under their jurisdiction, but still covered by the state agency. Again, 77% of environmental health programs perform at least one food protection activity, with the most common being oversight over fast food chains and other non-full-service restaurants listed as other food service establishments here, followed by foodborne illness investigations, inspection of restaurants, food security, and recalls and news alerts. Local health departments and departments of agriculture have jurisdiction over a lot of these food safety activities as well. And with the passage of the Food Safety Modernization Act earlier this year in January 2011, we're expecting these numbers to change, either through increased funding, possibly, and training programs, as well as just new mandates to require additional inspections. 75% or 3/4 of environmental health directors report a responsibility for at least one recreational water activity, with the most common being oversight over public swimming pools, then beaches, non-made recreational swimming areas, the third being algal blooms and red tide monitoring. I will note that algal bloom monitoring, we are seeing a number of states with increasingly hot summers, especially in northern areas, a lot more harmful algal bloom outbreaks, and so there's going to be more on this in future surveys to come, I'm sure. And also, interestingly, Hawaii is the only state that has oversight over residential swimming pools. None of the other state agencies have that. 54% of responding environmental health directors oversee at least one safe drinking water activity, with the most common activities being water vulnerability assessments and activities to implement support compliance with drinking water rules found in only 40% of the states. Again, this is probably an area where most of this oversight comes from the Environmental Quality or Department of Natural Resources agencies. 56% of responding environmental health directors perform at least one private well activity. And as you note from the graph above, there's in the red, there are a number of, again, other programs within the same agency that have oversight under this activity as well. So this is an area where there's joint ownership within two different programs. 73% of responding environmental health directors perform at least one pesticide control activity, with the most common being pesticide illness investigations, and performing pesticide education outreach was carried out by just about 50% of the programs. You'll see emerging issue is bed bugs. I'm sure you've all heard a lot about it over the past few years, and we're hearing a lot about it more from our state counterparts. And so this was actually a new part of the survey, and we're anticipating in future surveys we're going to include more questions on this to see how it's changed from 2010 and forward. 71% of environmental health directors perform at least one childhood lead poisoning prevention activity, with education outreach being the most commonly reported activity, followed by inspection and enforcement, surveillance and epidemiology, blood lead screening, and so forth. But to note, also to note, is that 63% of environmental health directors said their state is funded to do childhood lead poisoning program, making it the most commonly federally funded program that they oversee. However, with the pending budget changes in the upcoming year, this may be a huge issue. If it's the most commonly funded environmental health program and funding goes away, how is that going to change state environmental health? We don't know. 69% of respondent environmental health directors perform at least one occupational health activity, with the most common being response to adult leadhood poisoning, followed by other types of chemical exposures, worker safety and health, and some of the others down the list. And please note that I know there's a lot of information on these slides. This is all available in our report if you'd like to see some more in-depth data. 56% of environmental health programs oversee at least one radiation control activity, with the most common being radiation emergency response, environmental radiation monitoring, and X-ray and mammography machines. And lastly, 54% of responding environmental health directors oversee at least one waste management and control activity, with the most common being on-site sewage treatment and disposal, illegal lab cleanup, and response to medical waste. So, what does the average state environmental health program look like? As you can see, it's all across the board, but we can get some fairly common programs. The indoor environmental quality programs responded to mold, moisture, mildew, environmental health assessments, food safety, environmental toxicology, childhood lead poisoning, and public swimming pool and spa programs. So now that we talked about the programs, it's important to know how are they being funded. This graph shows the disbursement of the funding streams for federally funded programs. Again, I mentioned the far left, lead prevention and control is the most commonly funded program for environmental health. Then you'll note that there's four different programs funded. There's the radiation, chemical, food, and water, emergency preparedness and response. A lot of funding for those programs goes to the environmental health programs, followed by asthma, healthy housing, indoor air, and some healthy communities projects. Of note that you see the five funding streams for emergency preparedness and response. 90% of environmental health directors said they participate in their state's emergency planning and response activities, and 77% have responded to a major disaster within the past 12 months. So the next obvious question is, after funding, is the workforce. How have funding changes impacted the environmental health workforce? So when asked about changes in the past 3 years, both of these about changes in staff, decrease in FTE responsibilities, and the elimination of programs, over 60% of the environmental health programs indicated that they had to cut these programs. And examples include surveillance activities, responding to consumer complaints, food safety inspections, and vector control. So following along the same lines, this question indicated that the ability to send staff to professional enhancement training has been severely limited due to budget cuts, as well as the ability to fulfill continuing education requirements. This could also partially explain why states reported that professional expertise has suffered and it's been compounded by retiring experts and the inability to hire new well-trained staff. Other changes include only reactionary work done, less technical assistance to local health agencies, and delays in hiring. However, despite the numerous budget cuts, there's also new programs being added to the portfolio of environmental health directors. These are either from new funding streams or state mandates, some which are unfunded. These include occupational health activities, smoking enforcement programs, harmful algal blooms, health impact assessments, toxic-free children's products, and tanning beds. So when comparing the 2006 to 2010 survey data, it's important to note that the changes in programmatic responsibility could have occurred for several reasons, including health agency reorganization and the consolidation of activities. So more activities are now under their portfolio. It does not necessarily mean that there's increases in funding. They just have new responsibilities, more work, less funding. There are a few differences I wanted to note. there was actually an increase in coverage by state EH programs for indoor air activities, waterborne illness investigations, on-site sewage, and occupational health. But again, this does not mean that there is necessarily increased funding for these programs. The number of state EH programs reporting food protection oversight actually decreased from 2006 to 2010, with the main change coming from restaurant inspections. We're not sure how to explain that, except for possibly some of the reorganization and consolidation of resources, or some of these activities are actually being done by the Department of Agriculture or another program. We also added new questions on bed bugs to the survey, and we hope to do that in the future, and we added questions on workforce. We definitely think that workforce is a huge component of the surveys, both now and in the future, and we would like to continue to track these trends, not just for environmental health, but public health as a whole, to see how the field is changing. So our next steps, we hope to, again, build upon these surveys to capture trends over time and paint a picture of environmental health programs and how they're evolving. We also possibly could include other questions on some of these, their activities, including the hazardous substance emergency event surveillance, animal health and animal disease surveillance, ETSDR cooperative agreements, which we did not touch in this survey, and clean water and drinking water state revolving funds. So I'd like to extend special thanks to the National Center for Environmental Health at CDC for their continued support of the environmental health program since 2006. Many thanks to the environmental health directors who completed this survey, also for their tireless time and effort spent within the state health agencies performing these many activities. Last but not least, I'd like to thank Lindsay Realmuto. She had a big part in both administering this survey, compiling the results, and writing this report, and she's no longer at ASTO, so I'm presenting on her behalf today. With that, I look forward to answering your questions at the end. Thank you.